guys. Welcome back to Wine, Crime, and TV Time. I'm Kaylee.
And I'm Emily.
And today we're back with another true crime episode.
Yes.
This is Emily's episode.
It is. It is. We are doing the case of Emma Walker.
Yeah. And I believe I did actually. I said last episode how I don't think I know anything about it. And then I changed my mind like as I was saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch a Dateline on this. But mm-hmm. This case must be from like what, maybe 2013, 14?
It was 2016, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. A little off.
It's fine.
Well, I watched the Dateline whenever it like had come out, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I like know some stuff about it, but not much.
Okay, cool. Good.
But we wanted to kind of start doing something a little different in our true crime episodes where we kind of just talk about like what's going on in the true crime world each week. And if there is nothing going on, then obviously we're not going to like talk about anything. But Emily said she didn't hear about anything this week, but I had actually heard about something just today that was posted about a young mom and her 2-week-old daughter that are missing in Texas.
Oh, wow.
And
2 weeks old?
2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
So from what I gather, and again, like, this is all very new. This all happened on December 12th was when she was last seen. And right now we're recording and it is the 15th, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's December 15th. So we only have 3 days of information in. But from what I've seen, her name is Heidi Broussard. She's 33 and she's from Texas. I think she's from Austin. And she was, I don't think that she was married, but she had a fiance and they had 2 kids together. She had dropped off her son at preschool. I'm not exactly sure of his age, but she dropped him off there. And she was last seen at 7:30 in the morning that day on school, like the school camera. And the fiance says that he last spoke to her around 8 o'clock in the morning. He was at work. And it seems like she had gone home with the baby in between, like her going missing and her being seen at the school, because her car was there. All of like their belongings were there. The door was left unlocked. The car.
Shanann Watts.
Literally. And like, so the fiance or whatever did do an interview, and a lot of people are comparing it to Chris Watts, which I feel a little differently about, but again, there's so little information and I feel like people are starting to just like pull at things. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So he does describe her as like an awesome mom and like the best person he's ever known and this, that, and the other thing. And he uses the present tense when talking about her. So that makes me feel a little bit better. And I hope that she is somewhere out there and they find her. The fact that her and her daughter are missing, but the son is okay, makes me think that maybe the fiance didn't have something to do with it.
Or maybe he just didn't like the daughter.
Well, that's what actually somebody said. I was reading, funny enough, the whole reason I even found out about this was because of our Facebook group with Chris Watts. And somebody mm-hmm. posted it saying, like, how eerie is this? It's the same as Chris Watts. And somebody did point that out, like, maybe he was upset about the gender of the baby and blah, 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 blah. I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that.
Could be. But he does seem genuine. Like, he's, like, bawling his eyes out and upset. And when they found him to do an interview, or when they got to him, I shouldn't say found him, he was actually at the T-Mobile store. And he was trying to get phone records to try to find her.
Oh, wow.
So I do feel like that's like a little bit better than the Shanann situation where he's just on his porch.
Chilling at home.
Yeah. But he said her car, everything's at the house, everything, the baby stuff, everything, nothing's gone except her and the baby. If you see an awesome mom with a baby walking around or in a suspicious van or car or anything that looks suspicious, just please give somebody a call. Which is, like, kind of a weird thing to say, but again, like, I'm not grieving somebody, so I don't know what my verbiage would be.
Right.
But I thought that was interesting, so.
You see an awesome mom.
Yeah, he kept saying how awesome of a mom she was, which was one thing I found that was different about Chris, because he would not, like, I mean, he said, like, no, she was a good mom, like, but you could tell the way he was talking about her, he didn't like her.
Yeah. Yeah, he did not like her.
I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. But that's all that's really out there right now is this mom and this baby are missing in Texas. So if you live in Austin and see a mom and a two-week-old.
That's a fresh baby.
I know. So, I mean, I don't know. A lot of people are saying it could be, like, human trafficking.
Ugh.
But the fact that there was no struggle makes me think that she opened the door for somebody.
Yeah, and that's why I never open the door for anybody.
Me either.
One time, some guy, like, came to my house, like, trying to, like, sell, like, carpeting, and I was like, peace out. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Because I only talked to him through the camera. I was like, no, thank you, bye.
Yeah, no. I don't open the door for anybody, but I think that that's also probably why a lot of people suspect the husband, because there was no forced entry and there was no sign of a struggle.
Right. That would make sense. But
however, I'm sure that if his work can provide or prove that he was there, then you know what I mean?
Yeah, it'll be fine.
So we'll see. But I just kind of wanted to. Yeah, that was what I wanted to bring up today.
Keep an eye on that.
Yeah, all of our Austin listeners.
Yes. Yes.
But anyway, I think that we should kind of just get right in, huh?
All right, let's do it.
So we start back in 2016. So Monday, November 21st, 2016, a 16-year-old girl named Emma Walker was found dead in her bed. She was shot in the head twice.
Dun, dun, dun.
Emma Jane Walker was born March 20th, 2000 to Mark and Jill Walker in Knoxville, Tennessee. She had a younger brother named Evan, and they seemed to be pretty close. Emma was super involved in cheerleading. She was a cheerleader for her high school since, like, her freshman year, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very popular with, and she was friends with pretty much everyone. She wasn't, like, one of those, like, asshole-y popular kids. You know what I mean?
Like, she was, like, nice.
Exactly.
She was a Pisces, so.
I was waiting for that. Emma was an honor roll student and volunteered at a local animal shelter. So, like, I really like her for the animal shelter part. And she had plans for when she graduated. She wanted to go to school to be a neonatal nurse.
How interesting that she, like, knew that early that that's exactly what kind of nurse she wanted to be.
When I was that young, because, yeah, she was, I believe she was a junior when she died. I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do. At all.
I guess I did.
I did not.
True.
So in 2014, Emma started, like, to get a crush on this guy on the football team. He was a standout wide receiver. I don't know what that means. He was 2 years older than her, and he had a girlfriend. So she kind of, like, didn't, like, push it. They, like, became friends, blah, blah, blah. He was active at church, and he
was
also...
Wait, but she was interested in him?
Yes, but she was like, oh, this guy's super cute, but he has a girlfriend, so, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he was really active in his church, and he was also, a, like, kind of, like, a low-key nerd. He was super into Star Wars. And his name was Riley Gowell. Gowell, actually. I actually don't know how to pronounce it.
How is it spelled?
G-A-U-L. I think it's a ghoul.
Gaul? Gowell.
Gowell. So, eventually, Riley broke up with his girlfriend to date Emma. And things got pretty serious fast. So, Emma's parents said that they really liked Riley in the beginning. They described him as a very nice-looking and well-mannered boy. They allowed Emma and Riley to hang out a lot, never unsupervised. He would go over their house a lot, and they would hang out with, like, their mutual friends and go to football games and, like, shit like that. So strange, though, because, like, I just remember when I was, like, he must have been, like, 16 at the time. Like, when I was 16, I was definitely hanging out a little bit unsupervised.
For sure. But I don't know how much my parents knew.
Yeah, I don't think my parents really knew that much, so.
So in their minds,
I was hanging out supervised all the time.
Right, so her parents probably felt the same way.
Yeah. So soon after Emma and Riley started dating, Emma's friends began to notice that Riley was a little bit controlling. At one point, Riley was, like, going back and forth between Emma and his ex-girlfriend. Like, he said he made a pact with his ex-girlfriend that he had to go to prom with her. And, like, Emma wasn't happy about it, but she let it happen.
So, did she kind of just, like, let him make the rules?
Kind of. That's, like, what it seemed like. It seemed like she was very, like, how do I not...
Like a pushover?
Yeah, kind of. So, yeah, he said he was taking his ex-girlfriend to the prom his junior year, but then he could take her, like, Emma, to prom his senior year. Because he, like, made a promise. And, I don't know, I would not stand for that at all.
I wouldn't stand for that, and I'm also trying to, like, understand the other girl's point of view. Like, why would you want him to...
Yeah. She was never brought up into anything. Which I was kind of surprised, because, like, in the beginning, she, like, had, like, a part in their relationship, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, even though he was still, like, you know, going back and forth between the two girls, he still only wanted Emma to himself, shocker. He would also tell her that she can't do this and that, and, like, would tell her, like, what clothes to wear and what not to wear.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so weird, and I would never...
Were they the same grade?
No, so he's 2 years older. So at this point, she was a freshman and he was a junior.
Okay, so she wouldn't have been going to prom aside from that.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So Emma and Riley would break up. They would fight and break up all the time. And after a while, Emma's parents, like, caught on to all this. And Emma's mom asked Emma if Riley was treating her well. And Emma dismissed it. She was like, yeah, whatever. He's fine. He's great. Whatever. And she kind of became more reserved and wasn't really telling her mom anything anymore. And Emma's mom, Jill, recalls one time seeing on Snapchat, Riley referred to Emma as dead. He said something like, I'll see your name in the obituary. And when Jill confronted Riley, he said he posted it out of anger after a fight.
I mean...
Yeah.
I feel like you don't post that after a fight. Yeah. Regardless.
Yeah, I would never be like... We'll see your name in the obituary, like, you asshole. Like, I've never been in a fight that I, like, want someone to die.
Yeah, no.
At all.
I've never felt anger like that.
Me neither. So, can't relate. So, at that point, Emma's parents, then, they decided to ban Riley from their house. I mean, naturally. I mean, if you see him, like, basically threatening... your daughter.
Sure.
They also took away Emma's cell phone to try and stop her from communicating with him, but it didn't work because Riley ended up giving Emma an iPod Touch that she obviously was able to text him through Wi-Fi. Ugh, good old days.
You know, I feel like we see this a lot, not necessarily even just in, like, these, like, murder cases and stuff like that, but parents who try to, like, separate two people, it always pushes them closer together.
All the time.
So it's, I don't know, crazy. Why parents try that.
I mean, for example, remember when Dennis and I started dating?
Right, and that's, like, what I was just thinking of, like, and look where you are. I mean, not that, like, anybody's still, like,
not apart. They're still trying to get us to get divorced.
No, but you know what I mean?
But I even remember your dad saying, because, like, obviously I didn't have a license, your dad even said... that you weren't allowed to cross the state border with me because it was causing problems in your Uncle Dennis's house.
Right.
Like, and I was like, yes, I'm the asshole, even though it was Dennis's fault.
You were, like, actually talking about this with somebody the other day who was trying to forbid the kids from seeing each other and stuff. Dave and I were. And we both had, like, the same stance of the more you do that, like, the more you really – draw two people together.
Yeah, it definitely, like, not only was I, like, mad at that time, and I think, like, I can also talk for Dennis, it also, like, made us, like, want to hang out so much more. And
you want to rebel, you're a teenager.
Yeah, fuck our parents, whatever.
And you also have this, like, connection of, like, and I'm sure that that's what these people all felt when their parents were telling them not to talk to each other. Like, you have this, like, I don't know, you can connect to one another. Like, oh, they think we're bad for each other, but we have such a great relationship that, like, you know what I mean? They become your only person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes in a really, really negative way.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like there's not much, like, good comes out of that, but whatever. It gets you more into trouble.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, so by fall of 2016, Emma and Riley were still dating. They, like, kind of, like, you know, for 2 years, they would kind of repeat the same cycle. They would just get back together and fight and break up and this and that. So yeah, so fall 2016, they were still dating. So Riley graduated and he was a freshman in college 30 minutes away, and Emma was in her junior year of high school, and their relationship continued even though her parents, like, definitely encouraged her in a nice way to, like, break up often because he was still not very nice to her.
And was he commuting or was he, like, living?
No, he was living there.
Okay.
Yeah, he had a dorm there. So around Halloween
time. So they weren't seeing each other, like, every day?
No. And I think that, I know that he still, like, was not allowed at their house.
Okay.
So that's, like, a long time to, like, be in a relationship and not be able to, like, really be together. This kind of reminds me of this part. Yeah, are we going to say what I'm thinking?
I think so. I was, like, about to say, oh, well, we see this in
Unexpected, yeah, exactly.
With Chloe and Max.
But that one's, like, totally different.
It is, but, like, her parents, like,
they're more irrational.
But we don't know how irrational Emma's parents really truly were, and it seems like the same kind of a situation. I mean, not to say that her parents were sitting there, like, talking shit on Max all the time or being ridiculous, but I'm just saying it seems like the same type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
With not being allowed in the house. Granted,
oh, you mean Riley, right? You said Max.
Oh, no, I was saying, like, Chloe and Max.
Oh, okay. I'm like...
And granted, also, Emma does not have a baby with this person.
Right. Thank God for that.
Right. Well.
yeah. So around Halloween, Emma's parents decided to actually ground her. And they didn't allow her to leave except to go to school or cheerleading because they really did not want her to be around Riley.
So they knew he was really...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was
I imagine more must have happened in between, too.
He was just very mean to her.
Yeah.
He was mean, and then he would be like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I love you so much type thing.
Like, overly apologetic where it was not genuine.
Yeah, he was just very, I guess, verbally abusive. He was never abusive to her. Like, that sounds stupid, but he was never physically abusive to her.
Right, so. That we know of, right?
Right, I guess, yeah, we would never really know at this point, but as
and
far...
I feel like people like that are, like, so, like, he sounds like a sociopath to me, mm-hmm. That are, like, so overly, like, controlling and probably start off as charming.
Yeah, for sure. So they started monitoring her wherever she went, and it seemed to work. Emma's dad, Mark, said that she became, like, kind of like her old self again. She was, like, coming out of her room more and, like, socializing with the family as before she, like, was not doing that because I guess she was just kind of pissed at them, which I would
naturally.
Be. So,
as a teenager, for sure.
Yeah. And it even got, they even got more hopeful because one day Emma ended up texting her friend to tell her that her and Riley broke up for good. So, wow. Yeah, so apparently Emma saw Snapchats of Riley with other girls, like, on campus and stuff like that, and she's like, fuck this, like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. So even, like, Keegan, because she texted her friend Keegan, even Keegan thought that it was, like, great and, like, it was finally over, thank God, because according to, like, everything I read, even her friends, like, did not really like him at all.
Yeah.
Like, none of her friends. So, Riley didn't really seem to take the breakup well. One time he was in his dorm room, he swallowed a whole bunch of Vicodin pills and washed them down with alcohol in an attempt to commit suicide.
Where did he get these?
I don't know. That's a great question. I couldn't find anything on where he got them. I looked for that for like a good 20 minutes because I was also wondering. So his friends say that they witnessed a whole bunch of mood swings. His roommate said that like one day he'd be like moping and saying things like, oh, I just feel so depressed. I want to hurt myself, blah, 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 blah. But they thought it was all just like a cry for help, or like not for help, for like he wanted attention in a way.
Sure.
So he was just being dramatic. So 2 weeks after Emma broke up with Riley, his behavior started to like escalate. So one Friday, this was actually the Friday before her death, she died on a Sunday, Emma was at, it says in a bunch of different places that she was at a Halloween party. But I don't think that's possible because it was, like, weeks after Halloween. So, like, I don't know. I think she might have been just at a regular party. It was weird. Because, like, who has a Halloween party, like, a few weeks after Halloween?
When? What was the date?
That would be November, like, 19th-ish.
Well, that's a little late.
Yeah.
Unless they were like, oh, let's do this because... I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah.
Everybody else has stuff going on.
So she was at a party. And all of a sudden, Emma started receiving these strange phone calls and texts from this unknown number. Someone was claiming that they kidnapped Riley. One text said, go to your car with your keys. Go alone. I've got someone you love. If you don't comply, I will hurt them. So Emma told one of her friends...
Wait, at that point, did she know that it was Riley?
She didn't think so. She... No.
Who did she think that they had?
Oh, you mean like,
did she think that they had Riley?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
So Emma told one of her friends, Zach, and they walked outside to like talk about it or whatever. And, so clearly someone was watching her because the next text that Emma got was, what part of alone wasn't clear? I don't want to hurt a loved one. So Emma got freaked out, and then she was like, okay, like, I feel like these texts are coming from Riley. He's probably, like, being annoying and stupid and, like, stalking me. She also was like, maybe it could be one of his friends. And so she said to the texter, like, texted back or whatever, and she's like, who is this? Like, blah, 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 blah. Is this Riley or one of his friends? And the texter responds with, I'm no one's friends. We have him now. If you don't care about him anymore, then it shouldn't bother you. Call the police and he dies. Your choice. If you'd like to hear his final screams, give me a call. He's in a ditch besides the house. It's a shame you can all of a sudden not value someone's life. And, like, honestly, that sounds like him just being fucking dramatic, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. So a group of, like, her friends walked her outside the house and... they found Riley face down in a ditch at the end of the driveway. Like, to go to these measures to, like, try and get someone back is just, like, beyond me. So Riley told the group...
And, like, why would these people leave him in a ditch, like, right where there are people?
Right. It's just
if they were trying to hurt him.
Riley told the, like, all her friends and stuff that he was hit over the head and didn't recall anything. But then, a few minutes later...
And were they all, like...
What okay. the fuck? Yep, they all, like, did not believe him. Okay. A few minutes later, he remembered more details. He told the kidnappers to call Emma. That's what he remembered. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at this point, like, everyone was, like, super pissed. But no one was surprised because it was, like, the kind of, like, type of behavior that he's pulled before. Like... just being overdramatic and, like...
very manipulative.
Yeah. Like, ugh, just ridiculous. So Emma was, like, super angry, so she just walked back inside and, like, didn't say anything to him. She's like, fuck this. Like, I'm out. Which I feel like I would do as well. Right. I'd probably, like, punch the person and then walk back inside.
I mean...
you fucking idiot.
Yeah, I definitely would be annoyed and probably, like, leave the situation.
Yeah. And Riley, like, claimed that his phone was stolen by these kidnappers. But then, like, after he left, because, like, when she walked back inside, he just turned around and walked away, which is also super strange. Mm-hmm. But he claimed his phone was stolen or taken or whatever. but he soon began to text one of Emma's friends named Haley. And he said, "My head is throbbing. I have no fucking idea what happened. I literally woke up in her yard. I could have been killed, and Emma didn't give a fuck."
And he said nothing about the fact that he found his phone?
Nothing. Nope. It was like all of a sudden his phone was stolen, then he was texting from his stolen phone that he didn't have. He's just so stupid. And for some reason, like, Emma didn't call the cops. Like, or her friends didn't call the cops. Probably because they didn't believe him. But still.
I mean, you probably think, like, also, who knows if they were drinking, if they had, like, a couple drinks in them. Like, but regardless of the point, you probably think, like, it's not really, like, he's that big of a danger. He just is crazy. Like, you're probably rationalizing it in your head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not that there is any rationalization to what had happened. I'm just saying. They probably were just like, oh, it's just drama.
Yeah, because, like, they're 16.
Yeah. I would have chalked it up to drama, probably, at that.
In you know, like, this fucking dumbass. Like, whatever.
Yeah. I'd be like, get over it.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I've been there. Like, on Emma's side, not, like, in a ditch pretending that.
See, that's what I was thinking of. I thought you were going to tell me that you, like, pulled this shit with an ex-boyfriend.
No.
So, Emma, like, slept over at that friend's house, and then the next morning she went home. She had plans with her mom for lunch, like, later in the afternoon. So, she was home alone. Yep. So, she was home alone for a few hours, and then she noticed someone dressed in black, like, walking up and down her street, and then said person started ringing on her doorbell and, like, banging on the door and then, like, walking away and still, like, walking down the street. And this person was, like, dressed in all black, like, black sunglasses, black pants, black shirt, like, everything. So you couldn't really, like, tell any, like, facial features or anything because I guess the sunglasses were, you know. So she texted her friends and she said, "I'm home alone and somebody in all black walked down my street and came to my door and rang the doorbell over and over again. I thought I was going to die." Dramatic also. but very petrifying. But I wouldn't be like, I thought I was gonna die.
But she wasn't wrong.
She also then went to text Riley and said, "I hate you, but I need you right now." And Riley quickly responded that he was on his way to her house. And he said, "I'll be there in a few minutes. I'm speeding." When?
Because she wanted him to protect her, or?
Because she was home alone. And I guess she, like, even though he was, like, a psycho, she felt, like, kind of safe with him.
You know? Which I just can't comprehend after the night before. Like, I would ask one of my
friends. Right. Right. I would, like, call my parents also.
Yeah, but you know what? I've also been a 16-year-old girl, and I've pretended that bad behavior was, like, not what it was.
Okay.
And felt comfortable with somebody.
Yeah.
So maybe I can get where she's coming from, but I would like to think that I would call my friend to come, not call him. But she could have been feeling lonely or whatever.
Yeah, who knows? But either way, she texted him, and he was speeding on his way there because, you know, he was, I guess, you know, 10 minutes out or something like that. He wasn't right down the street when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
So when Emma failed to meet up with her mom, like, the next morning, her mom got worried and went home, and she found Emma and Riley in the front yard. So she was obviously pissed because he's not allowed there. So she kind of just got out and was like, "Please leave," she asked, like, nicely. And he was like, "No, like, you don't get it. I'm here to help." And she was kind of just like, "You know you're not allowed here. Like, you need to leave."
And what was Emma's reaction to all this?
There was never any mention of that, but I feel like Emma was kind of just like, if I had to guess, I feel like she was just like okay with what her parents were saying. I feel like she pretty much respected her parents. Like, they're never mentioned, like, her sneaking Riley over or anything like that. So, it seemed like the only, like, rule she broke was when she got her phone taken away type of thing.
It almost seems like she kind of just went along with what anybody said.
Yeah. Maybe.
Like, from what I'm gathering, it almost seems like she respected her parents and listened to them, but there was, like, a piece of her that also listened to Riley a lot.
Yeah, because I feel like Riley was very... Well, he manipulated. Like...
True.
So...
And she must not have, like, completely saw through that yet.
She definitely did not. I feel like at this point, she was kind of seeing through it, but still, she was insisting, like, after this happened, she was like, no, Riley didn't do it. No, he didn't do it. Like, he wasn't the guy dressed in black when everyone else thought he was. Everyone else thought that he was full of shit with the kidnapping. And she, like, was kind of on the fence with that. But when it came to this part of the guy in her neighborhood, she was like, no, he couldn't have been. He, like, came to save me. He came to, like, be with me, and I was scared, blah, blah, blah. Of course he was, like, there super quick. He was the person. Like, she didn't see that. She just saw, like, the good, so.
Which is sad, looking back.
Yeah. So, Emma was telling her mom that she thought it was a burglar or, like, a stalker. She thought it... She was thinking, like, maybe, well, if, you know, Riley's story from yesterday, last night, was true that he got kidnapped, maybe they're coming after me now. But her mom, like, wasn't convinced at all. Her mom kind of saw through his bullshit. And she even said to Emma, she said, don't you find it odd that Riley was involved? Like, and, like, he was involved in, like, both of these things, like, the thing last night and then the thing today. And she was like, no, like, it wasn't him. So, like, Jill was, like, saying, like, he's obviously, like, trying to get your attention and, like, trying to get you to talk to him, but just going, like, way too overboard, and it's, like, not normal. And, like, Emma still was just like, no, like, whatever. So her parents were super worried about her, and they were, like, kind of keeping a close eye on her. So they followed her wherever she went on Sunday. They, like, followed her to wherever, like, her friend's house, and then they followed her home to watch and make sure she was safe. By that night, the Sunday night, things seemed pretty much back to normal. And they even have text records of Emma texting with her friend that night. The friend Keegan that she texted that they broke up. Mm-hmm. She texted her and she was, like, talking to her about homework and whatever. And then she, according to a text message record, she, like, went to bed a little bit after midnight. So, on Monday, November 21st, 2016, around 6:15 a.m., Jill Walker went into Emma Walker's room to wake her up for school. And Jill remembers that she went in to wake her up so early because she needed to wash her hair. And that was, like, kind of a process.
I feel that.
Yeah, I figured you would relate. when Jill entered the room, she noticed that Emma was lying face up. And she said her name a few times. She, like, touched her leg, tried to move around, and nothing. Jill then, like, saw her face and, like, saw something was off. So she checked for a pulse, and she felt nothing. And she called 911. So police were sent to the Walker house. And, like, from the beginning, they kind of, like, assumed it was a suicide from the way that, like, Jill described it. When Nikki Bowles, the lead forensic technician, which is, like, a weird... I didn't think technician would be, like... the right lingo. When she arrived on the case, she started taking pictures of the front of the house and, like, the outside, whatever. She made her way into Emma's room, and she was taking pictures, and as she was taking pictures, she noticed a small hole in the wall, like, the size of, like, a, like, super small, like, the tip of a pen, I think she described it as. And she, as she looked at it closer, she thought it was a bullet hole. So then, Lieutenant Alan Merritt arrived on the scene. He also, like, she pointed out the hole to him, and he then went outside, and he located the hole outside, and he said that it was about shoulder length, whatever, high. And then he found two shells outside the house, so confirmed it was a bullet hole.
From outside the house.
Mm-hmm. So he started looking for another hole in the wall, and he found it on the other side of the house. So, like, for example, Emma's room was, like, in the corner of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, and her bed was, like, in that corner. So, like, one hole was, like, at the top, one hole was, like, on the side of her, like, where her bed would be on the other side of the wall.
Right. I, like, vividly, like, that's the one thing I remember about this case is vividly, like, the way that the the gun was shot.
Yeah. So Emma's friends and family were all brought into questioning, and somehow Riley's name kept coming up in every interview. Investigators then turned to social media to like find out any information on him. And the only thing that they really saw on social media was like they had like a crap ton of pictures together. But he also was like posting a lot, like tweeting a lot about Emma now. And he, in one tweet, he put, "Rest easy, sweetheart. I love you forever and always." Also, if you look him up on Instagram, which I'm going to pull it up right now, his bio says, "Rest easy, Emma. I love you so much, beautiful." And then, like, his, and then it also says, like, "Living each day for Emma Walker." And his, like, profile picture is a picture of her. So that day, Riley's friends, they got really worried because, you know, they thought before he was kind of fucked up because of their breakup, and now they were, like, worried that something else was going to happen. So the day after Emma's death, so that Tuesday, Riley's friend, Alex McCarty, came forward to the cops with a secret. Dun, dun, dun. So 3 days prior, so 2 days prior to Emma's death, Riley stole his grandfather's gun because he was scared. Scared from the kidnapper.
Okay.
So Riley showed Alex the gun, and Riley kept repeating, like assuring Alex that he didn't want to kill himself, like he was just scared of the people that kidnapped him, whatever. Then Noah Walton, another one of Riley's friends, came forward and told the detectives that Riley asked him how to get fingerprints off of a gun. Riley claimed he was asking for a roommate, and when Riley asked Noah was like, "Don't ever ask me that again." And Riley was like, "Yeah, I know, it was super weird, right? Like, my roommate was asking me." Like, so strange.
So manipulative.
Yeah. So now detectives brought in Riley for questioning. During the interrogation, Riley didn't refer to Emma by name. He referred to her as "that girl." And I'm going to play a part of that, actually.
"The girl. She texted me."
"Which girl?"
"The one that passed away."
"Oh, okay. What's her name?"
"Emma."
That is really weird.
Yeah. So, super strange.
Yeah, that girl, the one who passed away.
Yeah, and then they had to ask what her name was. Like, you dated her for fucking, like, 2 years. Like, you know which one passed away. You know her name. So Riley told detectives that the night of Emma's murder, he went over to his grandparents' house briefly and then drove back to his college. He said that once he got back to his college, he was crying in his car for, like, 2 or 3 hours and, like, over his breakup, and then, like, went to bed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant, the breakup that had happened,
like, a month ago, like, weeks, 2-3 weeks ago.
And she had had him over that day, so
mm-hmm.
things that actually probably seemed to be better.
Probably. I would assume so. I mean, in my head, you know. So, Lieutenant Merrill said that Riley seemed very emotionless. He said, and I quote, "His interview was probably one of the most disconnected. It almost seemed, like, rehearsed." Which, I don't know why you would also rehearse yourself talking about your ex-girlfriend saying "that girl."
But he's a narcissist. So what he thinks in his head is that he's coming across actually as empathetic by saying "passed away" and not "died."
But you're also still referring to her as "that girl." Like, I get the whole "passed away" thing. I hate the word "died," "dead."
Right. Don't like and it. I think, I mean, "that girl" is obviously to distance himself from the situation deep down. But I think that he just didn't even think of that at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He felt so uncomfortable saying her name. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Because he fucking killed her.
And relating her name to "died." So he said "that girl" and "passed away."
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what I think.
Makes sense.
But I'm not a narcissist, so.
You goddamn narcissist, you.
Such a freaking narcissist.
So, Riley didn't know, but we know, that the detectives already knew from Alex that Riley had the gun. And then Riley's grandfather, they pulled up, like, records from a few days ago. Riley's grandfather actually, like, filed a police report saying that his gun was stolen. So that was it was stolen 2 days before Emma's death, and he filed a report. Because, like, yeah. And he also then, they, like, confirmed again that the gun was still missing, and the grandfather.
And were they able to confirm what kind of gun it was? And
yep, it was a 9mm handgun.
And was that the shell casings that they found?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Suspect, but nothing that isn't
nothing confirmed. Yeah. So the detectives actually asked Riley about the gun, and he said he had no idea where it was. And then Riley just kept insisting that he had nothing to do with Emma's death, and he loved her, and like blah 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 blah. So upon leaving the sheriff's office, Riley texted Alex and Noah and demanded that they stop talking to the police. Okay. So Alex and Noah then realized that Riley was probably lying to the cops, probably didn't tell them the whole story. So ignoring their friend Riley's request, I guess, they ended up going back to the cops. And they said to the cops that they wanted to help get the murder weapon back. And the cops were, like, extremely, like, hesitant on that because it would be dangerous. This guy just murdered his girlfriend, or so they think.
Right, and, like, what if he murders you guys?
Exactly.
Also, these, were these friends from high school or college?
High school.
Okay.
So they were, like, very hesitant at first to let, like, two, like, 18-year-old, like, kids partake in something. But they insisted they wanted to help out. So, on Tuesday night, just one day after Emma's murder, detectives...
Wow, I didn't realize this was that soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I was kind of shocked. I thought it was, like, a few days, like, a week or two. No, it was one day. I would day. Have thought
almost a month.
It was... No, yeah. It was one day after Emma's murder. Detectives wired up Alex and Noah with microphones. They had, like, something that they can listen in on the car, and they had a camera and the key fob, and they planned an operation to recover the potential murder weapon. And, like, frankly, I'm very impressed. Like, mm-hmm. 2 18-year-olds, like, doing this, like, it's crazy. I'm like...
Right, I'd be so nervous.
Same.
And they had to, like, obviously they had to play it off as cool because...
Yeah.
They couldn't come across like they were suspect.
Yeah, and I'm going to play a part of the recorded footage in a second, and they played it off really well. So Riley came to them and said that he wanted to get rid of the gun. He needed to get rid of the gun. And they tried to convince him to just, like, give it to the cops, like, just tell them that, like, you had it, but it was only because you were scared of, like, what happened, and it would probably be fine. But he was like, no, I have to get rid of this. And they said fine. They didn't want him to be framed for a crime that he didn't do, so they, like, agreed to help him, I guess. so they all...
And this is all, like, on
tape? Yep, it's on tape.
This is after they're wired up.
This part was before they were wired up, that they thought of the plan, and then when they were going to execute said plan, then they got wired up. So when they all met up to get rid of the gun. So they planned on disposing...
So their plan was to go in there and claim they didn't want him to get framed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, it wasn't an actual conversation yet.
No.
Okay.
So they planned on disposing the gun in the Tennessee River. And they all met at Noah's house. And now I'm going to play the part of the conversation that was recorded that they played it off very well.
I know that you loved and cared about me a lot. We spent 2 years together.
I'm sorry about him, dog. I want to be so upset and I can't because I'm more worried about getting arrested and put away for murder that I didn't commit. And never in my life would I kill someone that I love that much.
Love you, bro. It sucks you gotta deal with all this, man.
I'm trusting you guys. Like, with my life, because I mean, this is 70 years in jail if I get convicted of something I didn't do.
So why can't you just give him a gun?
It just needs to be gone. For whatever reason, it just needs to be gone. You guys don't have to come with me if you don't want to.
I mean, I got your back, man.
If it's in the Tennessee River, they will never find it.
So they never get him saying anything?
What do you mean?
Like, they never get Riley claiming that he did kill Emma.
Not at this time, no.
No, that's what I mean. Like, the friends.
Yeah, no. Never. So, on their way to the river, they actually stopped at a fast food restaurant, which I think is strange, and everyone else also seemed to think it was strange. And in the Dateline episode, they were asked about it, and this was, like, really sad for me.
I felt sad for this. I know what you're talking about, because yep. I remember this part for some reason.
Yep. So, Alex said that they were, like, basically saying goodbye to their friend, and this was, like, their last time together, and, like, they were kind of just, like, pretending that nothing happened, and it was, like, normal. And also, it's just very weird, because, they also have, like, footage of when they're at the fast food restaurant, and he was just, like, acting so, like, normal, like, not like he committed a murder, and it was just so strange to me. Like, he just killed his girlfriend the day before, and then now he's talking about fucking, like, dipping sauce.
Right.
I'm like, and he's like, yo, have you ever had this sauce? Like, it's so good. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're not on our way to, like, get rid of a murder weapon. Like, so strange.
So weird.
Yeah. So they got to the parking lot, by the river where they planned on disposing of the gun. And Riley started putting on, like, white gloves. And, like, yeah, he started putting on white gloves to, like, kind of get rid of the gun. And he actually had the gun in a, garbage bag. So the boys never actually saw the gun, in this whole car ride until now. So he's, like, getting all ready to, like, pull out the gun and everything, and he, like, didn't even notice, like, Noah and Alex, like, anxiously looking around to, like, looking in the rear view to see, like, the cops that followed him and everything. Which was good. Obviously, this kid must be, like, retarded, because these guys, like, you know, like, I feel like he would know that they said something to the cops about the gun, because how else would the cops really know about this? But yet he still confided in them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so strange. So once Riley took out the gun, Alex then said, oh my god, that's a real gun! To, like, trigger, like, the microphone and the cops and everything. And then within, like, a minute, not even, the cops were, like, pulling Riley out of the car and placing him under arrest. So once the cops got the gun and then that black trash bag, they found all the black clothes in there, which they assumed was the clothes that Riley wore to scare Emma, or, like, they don't really have that in proof. They even, like, they assumed it was that, and they think that he probably wore that as well to, like, shoot the gun and kill her.
Did they find gunpowder residue on that?
They did not.
Okay.
They did not, but they don't really have any, like, anything. They just kind of assumed that. They never confirmed or denied anything. So on May 8th, 2018, after a week of testimony and more than, like, 30 witnesses, the jury found Riley guilty of first-degree murder, as well as stalking, theft, reckless endangerment, wow, and being in possession of a firearm during a dangerous felony. So, Riley's attorney argued in court that he never meant to kill Emma, but he fired the gun to try and scare her and get her attention. He says that Riley still denies being the mysterious man dressed in black, and he said that he never intended to cause her harm. He never intended to cause her death.
But he claims that he is the person who fired the gun.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's why I'm saying that it was, like, actually kind of very boring, and there's not much to, like, touch on, like, the sentencing and all that, because
they didn't
kind
fight back.
No, he didn't. So on September 14th, 2018, yes.
Did he get some sort of, like, a plea for confessing to an extent of that, or no?
No. So on September 14th, 2018, he was sentenced to a life term, which meant he would be eligible for parole after 51 years. But who knows? After his sentencing, he said to Emma's parents, I'm sorry I took Emma away from you. that I robbed you of the experience of watching your daughter grow up. What I can do is tell the truth about that night. I wanted to scare her. I never meant to take Emma's life. Again, I am sorry. And now he's in jail.
Well, thank God.
Yeah. And it's weird because, like, the ending, I just feel like what he said, like, to her parents, I don't know why a part of me feels like maybe that's true.
A piece of me could feel like that's true if he didn't shoot where he shot.
Okay, yeah.
Because if you wanted to scare her, like, you know where her bed is. So I feel like you would go somewhere that her bed wasn't.
Yeah, like maybe like the other side of a room. Yeah, something like
where
that.
Where were the gunshot wounds on her?
One was, I believe, at the top of her
head. In her head, right?
Yeah, they were both in her head.
So you knew where her head was. You didn't try to attempt to shoot her foot. You didn't try to attempt to shoot a different spot in her room. You shot two gunshots where you knew her head would be.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the Dateline episode, actually, Emma's dad said he heard the gunshots, but they didn't sound like gunshots. He said he heard, like, a loud noise in the night, and it, like, woke him up, and he thought, like, someone slammed a door. And he said that he got up, and he, like, checked on his kids, and they were both sleeping. So he was like, okay. Yeah.
That poor dad, he probably, like, lives with this every day.
Oh, my God. I would, for sure.
Same. However... Yeah. You know I love to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And I always try to see both sides. But in this, where the gunshots were, I just can't imagine that he didn't mean harm.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after everything else that has happened.
Oh, yeah. I just feel like...
Although with everything else that has happened, maybe he was trying to scare her. But where the gunshots were is what speaks to me.
Right. I feel like... I mean, obviously, the kidnapping, the man in black, he was trying to scare her, trying to get attention, trying to do this, trying to do that. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, and, like, I've done stupid shit like that. When Dennis and I were younger and, like, we used to, like, break up, oh, my God, I used to do stupid shit all the time. Would I ever go to his house and shoot him? Yeah, like, probably not. Definitely not.
No, and, like, even if you were, and I'm not trying to, like, rationalize his, like, irrational mind, but, like, even if you were trying to shoot to scare her, you would not shoot where you know her head is.
Shoot her on the damn foot, yeah.
You know what I mean? You wouldn't shoot on that side of the wall at all, knowing her bed's in a corner.
But also, like, how psycho do you have to be, like, yeah, I'm gonna shoot the house? It's like, I don't know. It's just crazy to me. And I remember, like...
Well, it doesn't put him inside the house at all.
True. True.
And he stole this gun a couple days before. This was planned.
Yeah. Or, Kaylee, he was just scared of his kidnappers. Duh. That's the one thing he still, like, maintains. That he got kidnapped. It's
the kidnappers.
Yeah.
I mean...
I don't know. Like, the stupidest story.
There was just too much stacked against him that I can't buy into really anything he has to say just because of how manipulative he was. And I wish that the friends could have got him saying something on a confession.
Yeah, but that wasn't, like, the goal of that. The goal was to get the...
No, I know.
The goal was... To get the murder weapon, yeah.
And they did. They did a really good job.
Yeah, props to them.
For sure.
I wouldn't be able to do that. I'd be, like, freaking out.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I would love to believe that this was some sort of an accident. And you know what? He was crazy enough that maybe it was. That he was trying to scare her, but... either way, you don't go scaring somebody by putting a bullet in their head, or two bullets in their head, for that matter.
Yeah, no.
And that's the other thing. It wasn't just one. It was two.
Yeah.
And you went, this is the other thing. You walked to the other side of the house to do the second.
Yeah. Like, also, I just wonder, like, why that, like, just why two? Why? I don't know. I just have so many why questions when it comes to this.
I feel like the answer to the why is he went to the front of the house first, where her head would have been backed up to the wall.
Okay.
And shot there.
Okay.
And in fear or thought or nervousness that maybe her head was on a different side of the pillow, he went to the other side of the house where he knew her head had to be. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whether it was on this side of the pillow or that side of the pillow, if she, I assume she would have had a full-size bed.
I also assume.
So let's say he shoots from the front of the house first. Well, what if she's on the right side of the full-size bed and not the left?
Yeah.
So maybe he thinks that, goes to the side of the house so that he can shoot. So regardless, it hits her whether she's on the left or right side of the bed.
Yeah.
That's my
God thought. Damn it. I was really hoping, like, maybe there was, like, an ounce of him that, like, really did just want to scare her. But now you're saying all this shit, and I'm convinced that he did it on purpose again.
Right. But now you know how I feel when I, like, investigate and investigate and investigate and, like, read things about people trying to say that there could be innocence or whatever.
Yeah.
And I try to see the other side.
Yeah.
And you're like, no.
I'm always like, nope, nope, they're fucked up. They're a fucking murderer. And you're like, but.
And that's the thing. I do always try to see the other side, but this I just can't.
Yeah. I guess I was just putting myself in, like, my crazy, like, teenager, like, obsessive mind that tried to get attention after a breakup type thing. Yeah.
Which I'm sure, I just think that his seeking attention after a breakup, like, went to another level.
Yeah. It's really sad.
It's super sad, and I'm sure, well, maybe not, because I do think that he is a sociopath and a narcissist, but maybe somewhere deep down he regrets it.
Hopefully.
Because maybe, this is the thing too, in his mind, he could truthfully believe that he was trying to scare her.
He probably has convinced himself by now.
That's what I mean, yeah. He probably has, like, convinced himself and really believes that, even though the evidence is clear that that's not what happened.
Yeah, absolutely not what happened.
Just so, like, wild that people like this exist. And also, for some reason, I didn't realize that these, like, this story went together on Dateline, because I remember the story of the girl getting shot in the head. I vividly remember that story. Mm-hmm. I also remember the one of the friends wiring up to catch the other friend with the gun. And I don't remember the two being connected.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you, if anybody ever gets a chance, I would definitely listen to this Dateline or watch this Dateline.
Yeah. It's called, I can tell you what it's called. Actually, hold on. I think it's called, like, A Shot in the Dark, if I am correct. Noises in the Night, just kidding. Along the same lines. Yeah, Noises in the Night.
So sad for those parents.
I know. And her brother. Her brother, like, still posts close, about right? her online. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she seemed like a good girl. So I hope you guys like this one. I thought this was a really good one.
Yeah.
And really interesting.
Yeah,
I personally like when we do ones that do have closure.
Yeah, it makes me feel so much better.
I know. And sometimes I would like to do more that don't have closure, just to, like, give the missing people out there, like, a platform to, you know what I mean? Like, speak about and bring attention to. Not that we're, like, anybody special, but you know what I'm saying?
And that's why we're doing the one we're doing next week.
True. Which may never, ever, 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 ever be solved.
Oh my God, I feel like it won't.
But I also feel like that's why we're going to start incorporating in the beginning of our videos, like, if people are missing and there's stuff going on like that. So if you were in the Austin, Texas area, keep an eye out for Heidi Broussard and her 2-week-old baby that's so small. That's like literally so small. And what I'm trying to understand is, and again, the information is limited. I believe the car seat was left at the house, which means she has this little baby on her person, you know?
Yeah.
Or somebody else has the baby on their person.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Definitely keep your eye out. And I think that we'll update that one as it goes on. But yeah, so we will be back again on Friday with the Teen Mom 2 3-part reunion, which may be a long episode. I don't know.
I feel like it will be a little bit longer than normal.
Yeah, because we're covering 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we also have some, like, Teen Mom stuff to talk about, I think.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
So, and then we'll be back next Monday and Wednesday, which... Wednesday is Christmas Day.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, bitches.
So we will be saying Merry Christmas, and we have the JonBenet Ramsey case coming at you then. And this is what's so crazy about that episode to me is it happened the night of / morning of the day after Christmas. So I think the timing is very like bizarre that we planned this.
Yeah.
And we didn't plan it for that reason.
Yeah, I was going to say, when we like planned which ones we were doing next, we didn't even put 2 and 2 together at all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess you could look at it as like a little bit of a Christmas gift that you get 2 episodes from us.
You're welcome.
You get 3 that week.
Yeah.
And it's the JonBenet one, which the timing is appropriate. So that's one that I feel like is so wild that you can have so many opinions and so many theories on, you know? But yeah, you could like literally go on for days about that. And people are always coming, I feel like, out of the woodworks claiming that they killed JonBenet Ramsey.
Yep. I was reading one the other day, actually, when we decided we were going to do it. And I'm like, this random guy like was like, yeah, by the way, I killed her. It's like, no, the fuck you didn't. You're crazy.
Anytime I talk about like, I'll be talking to my clients at work about like how I'm like really into true crime and stuff. And they're like, oh, I love the JonBenet Ramsey case. Did you see that somebody just confessed to her killing? They found her killer. And I'm like, bitch, no, they did not.
Yeah, no.
So we will be back 3 times next week, but we'll be back on Friday with the Teen Mom 2 reunion. So yeah, I really hope you guys liked this one. I think that I actually really liked this one.
I liked it too. I've been like thinking about this one since we like started doing this. So,
and it's definitely like a crazy ride. So
yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much guys for listening, and we'll see you on Friday.
Bye.